My name is Patrick J. McGinnis, and I coined the term FOMO. That's short for fear of missing out, and it's why some people end up following the crowd. But we're not like them. We're part of a new species that isn't afraid to do things differently. I call us FOMO sapiens. And this is the show where you'll meet people like us, phenomenal FOMO sapiens, to learn how they find the courage and the ideas to live exceptional lives.
FOMO. FOMO.
Hey, FOMO sapiens, it's Patrick. It is Thanksgiving here in the United States, and I am celebrating with family up in Maine. If you celebrate Thanksgiving, I hope you're doing it with people that you love or at least like, whether it's Friendsgiving, Thanksgiving, or whatever it is that you're doing today. And for the rest of the world, Thanksgiving is the best holiday. It's my favorite American holiday. So join us. Go get some turkey. Get some cranberries. Just do it up. Now, today's Best of FOMO Sapiens features a real friend of the show, Sammy Gale. So I met Sammy on a Zoom event during deep quarantine, and she's just great. She's total FOMO Sapiens. She is an actress. She has come up as an actress, actually. She grew up on TV on a show called Blue Bloods and saved the money she made because she realized that entertainment is not predictable. And then she has built up a whole sort of philosophy around a diversified life and a career, about investing. She's very active in investing the money that she saved. And she's just going to do great things in Hollywood and beyond. And so I just wanted to be thankful today for Sammy, for her great ideas and stewardship of a really cool career. And I also want to thank her because she's been so instrumental to rethinking how the show is done. So you may have noticed this year that we have a new flow. That is because Sammy sat me down and said, Patrick, you're disorganized. Your show needs more structure. Here's what I think you should do. And she was right. So if you like the show the way it is today, that is because of Sammy. And if you don't like it, don't say anything. Just kidding. Feedback always welcome. All right, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you on Monday for another episode of FOMO Mondays.
Oh my goodness. Well, first and foremost, I like to say I'm a professional empathizer. I am an actor. I am also a philanthropist. I am a singer. I am an investor. I am a daughter. I am a sister. I am a friend. What else?
You're so many political.
Sorry?
You do things in the political world?
Yes. I hesitate to say that I am a politician. I think the stuff that I have done in the political world is political, but it's more like philanthropy.
Okay, gotcha.
Also, you can say I'm an educator, given what I've done in the political world.
So those are a lot of things. And so what I want to start with is, because I love that, by the way, and I think that's what a FOMO sapiens is. It's somebody who does a lot of things and manages to do them without completely losing it. Is there a theme? When you think about the things you do and step back 25 feet or maybe 10,000 feet, like, what's the theme?
I think every one of my endeavors is about making a difference in the communities that I am a part of and that have given so much to me. And I think there are numerous ways through which I can do that. And I think life is too short not to pursue every single one of them.
Now, you started acting when you were a kid, right? So you've been doing this for a while. And I imagine when you were, you know, if we went back and asked you the same question 10 years ago when you were first starting on Blue Bloods, you wouldn't have had 30, you know, different things you were doing. You wouldn't have been investing and maybe the philanthropy and some of those other areas you weren't doing at the time. So kind of take us through how you started branching out from, you know, okay, I'm an actor to, okay, I'm going to use this platform that I'm building to do all kinds of other stuff.
Absolutely. So I started as an actress on Broadway. I did a show called Gypsy and then a show called The Grinch. And I had a very wonderful child actor career until the financial crisis in 2008, which was a time in which Broadway was struggling and there weren't a ton of opportunities for somebody my age, never mind the fact that it's so hard to get opportunities on Broadway. And so I didn't know what was going to be next. I thought I was going to have to move home. And I really experienced the riskiness of show business. And for me, my story, I was fortunate to have a very happy ending. I pretty much the day before I was supposed to move back home to Florida, where I'm from, after having been in New York working for 2.5 years, I was offered a role that would change my life. I co-starred in a film called Detachment with Adrian Brody, and the last day of that film, I auditioned and received the role that I've had in Blue Bloods for the last 11 years. So everything turned out okay, but I think that the riskiness of the business lived in me. It was not something I could forget, especially having experienced it at the same age that we learn languages, right? The experience we have at 11 years old are so formative for how we live our lives moving forward. And so I was constantly looking for ways to protect myself against the riskiness of even a successful opportunity like Blue Bloods. I understood that no matter how much success you have, things can happen. And so I diversified my portfolio, so to say, right? I started looking for opportunities that could allow me upside and that could protect me from any downside of the main thing that I was doing. And I had the luxury of being successful in those side projects because I had a stable job that allowed me not to incur all the risks associated with pursuing entrepreneurial endeavors when you don't have something else. So I started writing my own music. I decided that I wasn't being offered as many of the types of roles that I wanted to play. I was very passionate about telling stories that might otherwise go unheard, amplifying voices that were underrepresented. And I wasn't seeing enough of that, or I wasn't getting enough of those opportunities. So I decided, why not take it into my own hands? My brother was a brilliant writer. We teamed up and started producing our own content. So we made a movie with Netflix. We co-produced and I starred in called The Candy Jar with the help of a wonderful producer named Judy Cairo. And we have since been developing 2 more films that are about to shoot this year. I got engaged in running a political campaign recently. My brother was running for supervisor of elections in Broward County. I helped him with that, putting together a coalition of 80 young people across the United States to help people get signed up to vote by mail should they like to be in Florida, where my brother was running, and to give young people an education with regards to what it means to run for office as a young person. So I have branched out in many different ways, but I think the main reason why I did that was because I understood the riskiness of the business, and I also wanted to find fulfillment that I wasn't getting from some of the projects that were offered to me. Certainly I was getting it from Blue Bloods, but not always some of the others. FOMO.
Tudo bem, meus queridos FOMO sapiens? Now that right there was Portuguese, and as you know, I love speaking foreign languages. But I'm not alone. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off that list with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Now, FOMO sapiens, you know I speak 4 languages, and it takes work to stay on top of them, especially with French. C'est difficile. But with Babbel, I'm able to practice practical conversations that I can actually use in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/FOMO. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/FOMO. That's spelled BABBEL.com/FOMO. Rules and restrictions may apply. I'm really struck by your story, and I'll tell you why. Because people who know me know that 2008 was such a crucible moment in my life. I had been working on Wall Street. I thought, you know, this is the right path and it's the best path and I'm going to do really well. And of course, my employer AIG was nationalized. My stock fell 97%. And I realized like, whoa, the world is really risky. Like I'm working for a company that's one of the largest companies in the world. And overnight, it's like gone. And so what is so insane to hear you say this is that in your own life, 2008 had its own sort of role in provoking you to diversify. And so it is all about diversification. I believe in diversification. And that's what I love about your story. And what's, I think, also cool about what you do is, you know, yeah, you have diversified yourself in the world of arts and you've gotten involved in politics, but you know, many people don't maybe not know about you. You know, you also went off and you studied at Columbia and you're like very active in managing and investing the money you've been able to save as an actress. So I think for a lot of people, you know, they don't realize necessarily when they think about people in the creative world, they think, okay, you know, you're an actor and then you hire a money manager and, you know, that's it, right? And I just watched the Britney Spears documentary where her, you know, she has all this money being managed by other people. You have not chosen that path. You've chosen to take a more active role. So talk about how you've actually sort of built out this kind of this investing side of the things that you do.
Yeah. So my father was always telling me growing up that I needed to make my money work for me, having seen all the riskiness of my business and having been blessed with success. It was my job to leverage that success, that financial success, in every way that I could to, again, protect myself against a rainy day and to allow myself to be able to do all of these other things that I wanted to do so that I could make, I know you wrote a book called The 10% Entrepreneur, so that I could make actual equity investments in things that I was passionate about. So I guess around college was when I started to listen to Dad. Fortunately, I had amazing parents.
Thanks, Dad and Mom.
Saved all of my money. And who made my money work for me even when I didn't know it was happening. But then around college, they started bringing me more into the process, not because they didn't want to before. My dad always had me at every meeting, but just because I wasn't interested before. And I remember being at Columbia and I remember dating some people, honestly, who were in investment clubs at Columbia, very interested in investing. And I would see some of the research that they were reading. And I thought, why shouldn't I be doing this? I should be reading the research. I should be active. And my dad says to me, you know, I've been telling you this for years, but I decided to get active. And so I sat down with my financial advisor and we looked at how I could diversify my finances in the same way that I had diversified my career. And I got very passionate about and very interested in reading about different companies, how they were going to advance different causes, what the ethical policies of different companies were. I had an affinity for it that I never thought I would, but that I have continued to use throughout the years to make my success grow. And as a result of that, I've been able to develop an EP by myself that I have financed by myself. I've been able to develop other projects that I might not have been able to without the resources to do so. So it's been a very fruitful endeavor for me.
It's fantastic. And I think what's great about it is people have stereotypes about people in the arts that like they're incapable of thinking like business people. In fact, you've proven them wrong. I'm curious, as you educated yourself, because, you know, you came in a little later than some people might and you didn't go to work on Wall Street or, you know, you hadn't done those things. What were the most valuable, you know, for people listening perhaps and say they want to do that too, what were the most valuable things you did to learn how to make smart investments?
No one knows anything.
Okay, unpack that for me. I like that.
I think that whole world is sort of elusive, right? People mm-hmm. don't think that they should invest because they're scared that they don't have you know, access to the right resources, or they're scared that they're going to lose their money in investment, which is a totally valid concern because that happens often. But the reality is, if you watch videos on investing, if you read books, one book that I really liked was called Stocks for the Long Run, which basically discusses how while stocks go up and down in the short term, over the long term, they generally go up. Don't take my word for it. That's just a trend. Who knows if it will continue to be the case. But the point is, no one can predict anything. The markets are irrational. People try to do it, but things always change. And as a result of that, while you could say that's scary, it's also comforting because that means that one person's information is not any different from my information, is not any different from someone else's. People know how to play the game better than other people do. And as a result of that, you know, they're successful as financial advisors. But that sort of idea that some people understand the market and other people don't is false because the market is irrational. So for me, what I've been doing is just cost averaging. So I buy a little bit all the time, methodically. It doesn't matter if the market is up or down. That means that when the market is down, I'm getting stock. That means that when the market is up, I'm getting stock. And over time, I've seen that lead to a good return. But I think I had to first understand that no one has, you know, the golden ball with all the information in it to get over the fear of getting into the market and starting to learn about different types of investments that I could be making.
Yeah. And you started small. I think this, you know, the cost averaging is a really good point. Sometimes when we think about investing, even if you're starting with a little bit of money, and one of the things that's great about some of the new apps and companies out there is they're allowing people to start investing with small amounts of money, just to try it, put a toe in the water and see what you think. And then it goes up. And so, you know, you didn't go out on day one and put all your money into some, you know, penny stock. Of course, you started slow, and maybe over time, as you get some gains, it's kind of like going to the casino. It's like, I'm that guy who when I make money, I bet like $5, but I put the money, and then when I get up like $20, I take 10 off and I put it in my pocket. And so I'm constantly pulling money out so that I have my little reserve that I can play with, and maybe I'll, you know, bet on roulette or something crazy like that. And so, you know, I think for anybody who wants to accessibly get into investing, starting small, learning, recognizing that stock picking is something where you'll learn as you go along, and you need to do the work, and also surround yourself with people who have some experience that can help you out, makes a lot of sense. Now, Sammy.
I will say my financial advisor, he always jokes with me because I'll talk to him for an hour about a company, and then I'll say, okay, let's buy 3 shares. Of a company that's, you know, like $20 a share or something. But you know what? That is the way, right? One other tip I will interject in here is I love to buy companies in very small quantities just so that I see them in my account every day, right? Just so that when I read reports and when I read research, I'm looking out for the letters of the name of the company. And as I read more research, I'll build up the position over time, over months, over years. This is not something that I do immediately, but it's been fruitful for me to do it that way. And I'll let people make fun of me because when you look at the return as a result of that type of investment, it's good. And also, as you say, you know, you don't put a large amount of your money into the stock market or any one thing at all. You have to diversify.
So I like that a lot. I've never heard that idea before, but it's sort of like bookmarking. Is what you're doing. You're bookmarking stuff to come back to it later. And the thing is, if you don't like investing, by the way, I don't love public market investing. I give my money to somebody, they invest for me. I buy things here and there, but I do put on my calendar every week a reminder to think about these issues so that I just once a week, I'm reminded like you should be thinking about your investments, because otherwise, you know, I'm a FOMO sapiens. I'm doing 1,000 things. I'm not going to remember. And so it's important to like just be a little thoughtful about making sure that, I mean, this is important, right? Getting your money to work for you. Your dad is so right.
Well, especially because my career, you have a job, but the next day you might not have a job, and you might not have a job for the next 10 years. So yeah. If you're in a luxurious enough position to have some money in a very volatile career path, it's your job, I think, to make that work for you and to also be able to give it back to others. So much of what I do, as I said, is philanthropy. How can I make the world a better place? I've been given this platform, this opportunity. I better do something good with it. It's not about making money just for myself. You've got to give back. FOMO.
Tell me if this sounds familiar. Your business gets to a certain size and the cracks start to emerge. Things you used to do in a day are taking a week. You don't have one source of truth. If this is you, you should know these three numbers: 37,000, 25, 1. 37,000, that's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle. 25, NetSuite turns 25 this year. Happy birthday. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close the books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs. 1, because your business is one of a kind, so you get a customized solution for all of your KPIs. Those are key performance indicators in one efficient system. Now, FOMO Sapiens, you know the show is all about making better decisions. And with this product, you can make better decisions because you have all the information you need right in one place. Right now, download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance absolutely free at netsuite.com/FOMO. That's netsuite.com/FOMO to get your own KPI checklist. Because you know what? KPIs are better than ice cream. netsuite.com/FOMO.
FOMO.
Now, you just mentioned platform, which is something interesting about you in my research. You know, I do my research. I was checking out your Instagram, and you only started Instagram in 2019.
Last year.
Yeah, which is which is really interesting. And I can't imagine it's because you didn't know about Instagram. You made a choice.
No,
there.
I knew.
So you made a choice not to do it, and then you made a choice to do it. So tell us about that.
So I have just never been a social media person. I live a very private life aside from the public nature of my job. And I've also, unfortunately, dealt with a lot of stalker situations that have made me pretty averse to social media. However, I do think that we are in a moment where celebrities have platforms through which they can achieve a lot of good, through which they can bring people together in support of amazing causes, just by using the internet, right? We no longer have to reach people by knocking on doors. Not that that's what we do in political endeavors, not necessarily celebrities, but we can now reach people to rally troops toward great causes via social media, via something so easy. And I think that's really why I joined. I wanted to use my voice to make an impact, to effectuate social change, to raise awareness about my brother's campaign, because I was so passionate about the work he was doing, expanding access to voting in South Florida. And that was a great way to do that. So that's really why I joined. Now I love to use the platform to like enhance my fans' sense of community, both with me and also with each other. I love to talk to the amazing people who are responsible for my career, right? My career relies on viewership, relies on people who watch every single week. And social media to me is the way that I can do a tiny bit to say thank you, a tiny bit to give back to them.
Now, are you going to stay just on Instagram? Or are you tempted to join all the Clubhouse and the TikToks and all?
Because
it's an arms race.
I got an invite to Clubhouse and I haven't joined it yet because I don't know anything about it, but I was going to watch. I saw there was a webinar through my agency that I can learn more about Clubhouse through. But I do have Twitter. I've had Twitter for many years, but I haven't been using it too often. I think one platform is way more than I can handle.
Yeah, no, I agree. Listen, we can talk about Clubhouse. I don't want to get into it now, but I've been dabbling a little bit in it. And the problem is, It's like, okay, you spend all this time on one thing, and then it's like, all right, then TikTok comes around and you're like, well, am I supposed to do that? Like, and that's a whole thing. And then Clubhouse comes around. And so you could like literally just spend your life building followings on social media and it would be very tiring. But then you see, I had a friend in New York, Walter Masterson is his name, and he's become this huge TikTok guy out of nowhere. He makes these really amazing videos. And in the space, like during the last year, he went from like, he's an actor. He was, you know, an actor, you know, working actor, to actually being like a guy who people know and has, you know, a platform, and it's all political stuff. So you see that and you're like, well, maybe I could do that on Clubhouse and maybe I should sign up. And then all of a sudden, you know, 8 hours later, you've asked 16 people to do Clubhouses with you. So it can get out of control a little bit. And so
and you also, you know, learn about so many different businesses on these social media apps as well. And I've really enjoyed getting to support those too.
So Sammy, I want to ask you, you know, you've done a lot of things. You have found that you enjoy the business world, but you're also an actor and you've created some movies. And so you're in that world as well. So let's fast forward 10 years. Now, are you going to be running your own asset management company or are you going to be in showbiz? What do you want to do? And what are the choices that you think you'll make to get there?
That's a very loaded question. Again, I will say the most important thing to me is that I am using my platform to effectuate social change and to make a difference in the communities that I am a part of. I have lately been very focused on building a production company with my brother. My brother writes and I co-produce and act in the movies, and those movies are concentrated on amplifying voices that would otherwise go unheard. I think that is what I am most passionate about doing in the future. I want to continue to be an actor, but I also want to continue to produce content that means something to me. And I think the easiest way to do that, especially with a brother who is such a talented writer, is to produce the content myself, to become a content creator. 10 years down the line, I would love to produce other people's projects, to act in other people's projects, and to branch out our business so that we are producing documentaries, so that we are producing things even like fashion lines that all align with our mission. So I think 10 years down the line, hopefully we will be helping other people represent underrepresented stories in whatever ways they find most fitting for them. As I said, I really think that people get too stuck in doing one thing and using one route in order to effectuate the type of impact that they want to have. And I think that there are just so many, you know, on the one hand, you could use a film to change how we view an issue in the world. And on another hand, you know, you could run for office and start making laws to effectuate that change. And I think they're both equally valid paths, equally impactful paths, and that the same person can do them all. I mean, I watched my brother do it, right? Like, my brother's going to probably run for office again someday when the right thing comes along. And he's also an attorney and he's also a screenwriter and he's thriving at all of it. So again, like, this pandemic has shown us how fragile life is. Let's make the most of it.
Love it. All the slashes. Do you think about it? All the slashes, like, let me
do also that I one other thing I will say is, I am really passionate about continuing the work that I was doing with my brother to expand voter education and to expand access to voting, not just in Florida, but nationwide. And I really hope that in the next 10 years, I will also be able to put together a less temporary coalition of people to continue to do that work.
You don't just have to do one thing. You just have to think carefully before you decide what to do. Everybody, you're going to want to watch this space. Sammy is going places to keep up with her and all of her adventures. You can follow her at Sammy Gale, where she might also give you some stock tips and you can buy a couple of shares of these companies.
No, please, disclaimer, do not listen to any of my financial advice. My number one rule is I do things myself, but don't want anybody else listening to what I have to say because I don't want to be to blame.
All right, all right. Well, anyway, go to Sammy Gale on Instagram. Sammy Gale, thanks a lot for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
FOMO.
Can't get enough of FOMO Sapiens? Join me on Patreon for ad-free episodes, bonus material, and exclusive content that will help you to master FOMO and position yourself for greater success in both business and life. Go to patreon.com/FOMOSapiens to learn more. You can also connect with me on Instagram at Patrick J. McGinnis, on Twitter at PJ McGinnis, and on LinkedIn. I love hearing from you, so don't be shy. FOMO Sapiens is recorded in New York City. Theme music is by Mike McGinnis, and editing and post-production is by Josh Elstra. If you like today's show, please be sure to rate it and recommend it to your friends. And as always, you can find me at FOMOSapiens.com and at PatrickMcGinnis.com. To advertise on FOMO Sapiens, reach out to contact@FOMOSapiens.com. FOMO.